This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to Progressive Radio, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Today, I'm delighted to have on the show Emma Cape of the Bradley Manning Support Network. I've been interested in the Bradley Manning case for a long time. We've written about it a little bit in the Progressive, especially in our activist section on the line. But it's nice to have this opportunity to discuss the case in some detail. So, Emma Cape, welcome to Progressive Radio.
Thank you for having me on.
Why don't you give me a sense, and the listener who's listening in her car or in his office or in his kitchen or wherever that person may be, about a little bit about yourself, how you got involved in politics, period.
Well, I've been active in politics and political organizing for about 10 years now. We invaded Iraq when I was a junior in high school. And when we had first invaded Afghanistan was when I first started following the news and become politically aware. And I was concerned that I felt American reporters weren't asking the tough questions when it came to what our role was there, what the civilian casualties were, and things of that nature. So I then decided to organize a group of fellow students to protest the impending invasion of Iraq.
This was in high school?
This was in high school.
And so what did you do? Did you have a assembly, or did you have a what kind of work do you do on that?
Well, I had a great mentor in the form of a history teacher who had organized against the Vietnam War, and we did vigils. I wrote pamphlets explaining what was wrong with the facts as they were presented by President Bush, and we also organized a big rally with a few hundred people. We also sent a petition to the House of Representatives and got a response because the Speaker of the House at that time was from our district.
Nancy Pelosi. And what did she say?
Well, it was before Nancy Pelosi. This was many years ago, but...
So this was 2003. Who was the Speaker? Forgive my ignorance.
I don't remember his name, but it was a Republican, I believe, at that time. And he responded, with several pages, bullet points about why we had to go into Iraq to go after weapons of mass destruction, etc. Not terribly credible looking back.
Just the standard line.
Right. But for high school students organizing, I think I was happy that we got any attention at all.
And then you continued doing organizing when you went to college?
That's right. So in college, I continued doing student organizing around environmental issues, women's issues, and other social justice issues. I also, out of high school, had a couple of good friends join the military. At the time, they believed that our foreign policies in the Middle East were the correct thing to do, and they came back with a very different perspective.
What did they tell you?
Well, they said that what was happening on the ground was not what was presented in American media. They said they were taught to shoot first, ask questions later, and they came back emotionally traumatized, as many of our troops have. Which is what led me, in many ways, to working for Courage to Resist, an organization which supports GI resistors, in addition to Bradley Manning.
So before you got involved with the Bradley Manning Support Network, per se, you were doing Courage to Resist work, GI support work?
Well, I was hired to work for Courage to Resist about a year ago, and I became the Bradley Manning organizer about a month after that.
And tell me about the Bradley Manning case. What is it... about that that's so compelling for you?
Well, Bradley Manning is an interesting case, but here you have a young man who is 24 now, was 22 when he was arrested. He joined the military, according to friends, as so many young men do, because he hoped to get money to go to college, because he thought he would be spreading democracy and saving U.S. and Iraqi lives. And he hoped very much to make something of himself this way. And according to the evidence we have, the chat logs, he engaged in with a hacker, Adrian Lamo, which I can talk more about in a bit, the chat logs that actually led to his arrest, He explains that he went through a powerful transition process when he was being asked to help arrest Iraqi civilians who were simply criticizing corruption in their own government.
What was that process?
He was working as an intelligence analyst because he was very good with computers. So he was collecting evidence that the Iraqi security forces could use to arrest the men publishing this pamphlet. And he went to an interpreter and asked the interpreter to explain what the pamphlet was about. And essentially it was asking, where was the U.S. aid money going? Because it wasn't going to the Iraqi people. So according to Bradley Manning, he then ran to his supervisor, said, these people are innocent, we shouldn't be arresting them. And his supervisor said, shut your mouth and do your job. Because in the U.S. military, soldiers are taught not to ask questions.
I'm speaking with Emma Cape. She's an organizer with Courage to Resist, primarily working on the Bradley Manning Support Network, and she's touring the country right now to raise awareness of the Bradley Manning case. You wanted to elaborate on Adrian Lamo and what that situation brought to Bradley Manning.
Right. So Bradley Manning was first arrested in May 2010 after he had been in the process of being discharged from his unit, and he engaged in an internet chat with a man by the name of Adrian Lamo. Now, Adrian Lamo is a very colorful character. He had previously been arrested for hacking against large corporations, hacktivism essentially, and many people thought he was a leader on the left. He also had given money to WikiLeaks. But in these chat logs, which are now being used as physical evidence against Bradley Manning by the U.S. government, he goes into a great deal of detail about why he thought the information he's accused of releasing needed to be public, about how it showed corruption, political back dealings, the non-PR version of world events. And when Adrian Lamo asked him what he hoped to accomplish by releasing this information, he replied, I want people to know the truth, no matter who they are, because without information, you cannot make informed decisions as a public.
And didn't he say in one of the chat logs, I don't know if it was with Adrian Lamo or not, that, you know, if he wanted to be a spy, he could have released it to, you know, Russia or China, but that's not what his intentions were.
Exactly. He did say that. And Adrian Lamo asked him, you know, what would you consider yourself? And he basically just said, reiterated that he wanted to inform the American people, that he hoped to promote discussion, debates, and reforms.
So that's weird that, you know, he's on the record as saying the evidence in the trial that's coming up, the evidence is quite clear that he wasn't trying to aid the U.S. enemies, and yet he's being charged with aiding or abetting U.S. enemies, which is a charge of treason, right?
That's exactly right. The charge, as it's written on the charge sheet, is aiding the enemy through indirect means. And we've actually come to a place where the U.S. government is now arguing that by making information public, just because somebody somewhere in the world who might be an enemy of the United States could access that information, that's the same as committing treason.
But then, you know, how far are they going to take it? Any reporter who writes about the story is surfacing the same information and indirectly aiding the enemy, just allegedly as Bradley Manning was aiding the enemy.
Exactly, and that's what many people are afraid of. Daniel Ellsberg, who released the Pentagon Papers, is a major supporter of ours. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has made the point that a conviction for Bradley Manning would result in a major chill of investigative journalism in the U.S.
I'm speaking with Emma Cape, organizer of the Bradley Manning Support Network. My name is Matt Rothschild. I'm the editor of the Progressive Magazine. You're listening to Progressive Radio, which is the radio wing of the Progressive Magazine. There was a lot of controversy at the beginning about the way Bradley Manning was being treated, essentially, I believe, in solitary confinement, without clothes. Can you talk about that?
For the first 10 months after arrest, Bradley Manning was held in solitary isolation. And he was also stripped naked a few times after he made a sarcastic remark to one of the prison guards.
What was the remark, if it was clean anyway?
Well, they were asking him to take off most of his clothes while he was sleeping and letting him keep his underwear. And they were saying it was for prevention of injury, which Briggs psychologists did not support. But then Bradley Manning, his defense lawyer filed a motion to have him be allowed to sleep with clothes on, and that was denied. And Bradley Manning remarked, well, if I wanted to hurt myself, I could hang myself with my underwear waistband. and then they made him stand totally naked at attention for 3 days.
And was he visible to other prisoners, or was, you know, this private? Was there some public shaming going on?
I'm not clear on that part because there have been reports both ways. I think it's possible he would have been visible to other prisoners because he may have been standing at attention outside his cell. Either way, though, you're talking about treatment that the UN investigator on torture has called degrading and inhumane.
And Amnesty International, too, was decrying it, I believe. Is that right?
That's correct. Amnesty International, in addition to Denis Kucinich, have started investigating the matter.
What contact have you had with Denis Kucinich on this?
Well, he's a supporter in the sense that he's been following the case, and he's concerned that Bradley Manning be treated respectfully. He made a remark on public news a couple of weeks ago about how whistleblowers, and Bradley Manning in particular, are crucial to creating a stronger democracy, essentially was the gist of his remark.
I think one remark I saw was that he said it's like something out of Kafka, the way he's being treated. That stuck in my mind as a Kafka fan.
He did say that. In addition to that, he has said he would consider reading the Guantanamo files in Congress into the congressional record.
Before he leaves, because unfortunately he got redistricted out and lost in his primary bid. Denis Kucinich is going to be hugely missed in Congress by those of us on the left. He was the most courageous person in Congress over the last couple years, and even dared to call for the impeachment of President Obama over the illegal bombing of Libya. So it's quite a loss for all of us. But I'm sure Denis Kucinich is going to remain engaged. That's what he's done his whole life. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does, actually. Have you ever met Denis Kucinich, by the way?
No, I have not met him.
Oh, he's a thrill. You know, we had him at an event at the Progressive about a year ago in the midst of the Wisconsin uprising. And, you know, behind the stage, he's just sitting there. He's not a huge, imposing figure. He's sitting in a chair, quiet. He goes on stage and he just transforms himself into this dynamo of a speaker and just brought the place to its feet. Must have been 10 times. It was an incredible, incredible speech. And he's just an incredible guy. Why don't we talk about the essence of the documents that Bradley Manning allegedly released? What did they show?
Well, I mentioned the Guantanamo files as being one of these documents. But Bradley Manning is accused of releasing 4 sets of documents altogether. There's the collateral murder video, which came out a couple of years ago and shows an Apache helicopter with U.S. soldiers in it killing civilians and journalists on the ground, and then destroying a van that came to rescue one of the wounded men. There's also the Afghan war diary and the Iraq war logs, which are day-to-day field reports of what has happened in those countries.
Day-to-day field reports. Okay, I'm sorry.
So they describe both casualties and accusations of torture, among other things. There's also the U.S. diplomatic cables, which are the communications between the U.S. State Department and embassies around the world. Now, all of these documents are classified at a relatively low level and don't even meet classification criterion for the most part, according to our legal system. But they've revealed a lot of interesting information about the kinds of corporate influence on our foreign policies, as I mentioned previously, in addition to the ways that the U.S. government and our allies have been misleading citizens around the world about human rights violations and environmental crimes in order to improve public relations.
What would one of those environmental crimes be?
Well, there was some information a few years ago, or from communications dated a few years ago, where a Japanese scientist tried to inform the U.S. ambassador that the nuclear reactors in Japan couldn't withstand an earthquake. And these nuclear reactors were all designed by U.S. companies, meaning the same design is employed here in the U.S. And both the Japanese government and the U.S. government chose to ignore that information. And after Japan's earthquake, the disaster there is rated as badly as Chernobyl.
Emma Cape is my guest today on Progressive Radio. She's one of the primary organizers, or perhaps the primary organizer, of the Bradley Manning Support Network. How do people get in touch with the network? I want to give the web address several times in this half hour that we got.
Well, our web address is just bradleymanning.org. We update it every day with new news, information, and we also have resources there for those who wish to become activists.
Emma Cape, just to be devil's advocate for a second, should all State Department diplomatic cables be released in, with no consequence to the person who releases them, or all military field reports be released with no consequences to the person releasing them?
Well, documents that don't meet our nation's legal requirements for classification should not be classified to begin with. The legal classification, according to a 1970s Supreme Court ruling, as well as President Obama himself, is that a document should not be classified unless it poses a threat to national security. However, government employees are not punished for classifying documents that should not have been classified. So that allows them to hide lots of wrongdoing. And the number of classified documents in the U.S. has increased eightfold in the last 10 years. So we have a major problem with overclassification and the U.S. public not being able to weigh in on our government policies.
So is it your feeling that, you know, he shouldn't be charged with anything and just be scot-free, or that the treason charge is just way out of line, or both?
Well, on March 15th, Bradley Manning's defense lawyer filed a motion to have all charges dismissed based on the fact that the government has failed to respond to his requests for evidence, because the government has commissioned reports about what the impacts of WikiLeaks has been and has failed to turn those over to the defense, in addition to the fact that the defense has been denied the ability to present 4/5 of their requested witnesses. So we are asking for all charges to be dropped based on the military's failure to provide due process in this case.
And I think I read somewhere that former Defense Secretary Gates said, you know, this stuff is embarrassing, but did it really hurt us? Nah. I mean,
exactly.
That's the position of the Defense Secretary of the United States, then their case about treason seems to go out the window. I know Hillary Clinton practically, said this was the worst thing that ever happened, but the consequences as far as U.S. foreign policy, the same old U.S. foreign policy.
Right. I mean, we've had certain leaders make vague comments about the threats this has faced, but those same leaders won't reply to requests to appear in court and testify about the specific fallout. And as far as we know, nobody's been harmed, and we've learned a lot about innocent people who have been hurt as a result of controversial policies.
I was struck by a former State Department official who actually did something courageous, a spokesman, Crowley, I think his name was, who, when Bradley Manning was being treated so badly in solitary confinement, said in public that it was ridiculous, counterproductive, and stupid the way he was being treated. And, of course, this guy got canned the next day. But, what was your reaction to that?
Well, we thought he put it as clearly and succinctly as anybody could have. And while P.J. Crowley is not wholly a supporter, he has even gone so far after resigning to say that the aiding the enemy charge is completely unfounded.
Did that? Did you guys have any inkling that he was going to go public on this? The spokesman for the State Department was going to give some support to what you're doing?
We didn't know ahead of time that he was going to make that comment. He was asked by a student at MIT and decided to be honest.
Huh. It's rare, though. It's rare for public officials, especially spokesmen, to be honest and to contradict the policy of the U.S. government that they're representing. And that's what was so admirable about what he did. And I think he brought a lot of attention to your case. You must have gotten a lot of calls after that, didn't you?
We did get a lot of support.
Now, I heard that Bradley Manning has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. Is that true? And how do you get nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize?
Well, there are around 300 organizations around the world that are accredited to nominate people for the Nobel Peace Prize. And actually, this year, Bradley Manning was nominated by two organizations.
Do you know which ones?
Well, one was the movement of the Icelandic Parliament. It's one of their political parties over there. And the other one is the Oklahoma, I'm afraid I'm going to mess up the name. It's a peace research institute in Oklahoma. Huh,
interesting. Now, what is the status of his case? Where are things right now?
Right now, we're waiting for the dates of the court-martial to be announced. The defense wants it to happen in May. The prosecution wants it to happen in August. Many people have speculated this is because the U.S. State Department is still hoping to bring WikiLeaks up on some sort of charge. But we can expect it to happen sometime before the end of the year. And until then, we have different court hearings that will be happening in Fort Meade, Maryland, and we're asking supporters to organize solidarity events.
And you can find out more at bradleymanning.org about what those events might be. Now, a court-martial for treason can attach with it the death penalty. Is that a prospect here?
Well, the prosecution has said that they are not pursuing the death penalty, but that doesn't rule it out because it's up to the judge and the jury. And at the least, he's facing the prospect of life in prison if he's convicted of all charges.
You think that's the least? They want to give him a reduced charge? I mean, it seems like a ridiculously long time to put a 24-year-old who was just releasing public information. This guy's going to spend the rest of his life in jail for being a whistleblower?
Well, I said if he's convicted of all charges. We don't feel he's guilty of all charges. We feel that the aiding the enemy charge is ridiculous and unfounded, and that many of the other charges he's facing related to improper use of government computers should not be valid based on the fact that other members of his unit were downloading movies and doing other things on those same computers.
And those bring lesser charges, I take it?
Yes.
Lesser sentences.
Those are lesser sentences.
Okay. How are his spirits holding up?
He's doing much better now that he's no longer in solitary confinement. He says he appreciates the thousands of letters he gets from supporters.
If people wanted to write him a letter, what would they do?
We have his current mailing address listed on our website, which once again is bradleymanning.org.
And you've never met him, have you?
I've not talked to him. I sat in a courtroom about 10 feet from him, though.
What was he like?
Well, like many people have remarked, he's sort of young-looking. He's on the shorter side. But he looked in good physical health. He looked calm and like he has a good relationship with his defense lawyer. I'm sure he will fight these charges to the best he can.
And who is the defense lawyer and how did he get him? Did you help Bradley Manning get this lawyer?
Well, this lawyer was chosen by Bradley and his aunt, who he had been living with prior to joining the military. His name is David Coombs, but the Bradley Manning Support Network has funded David Coombs to do his work.
And how do you guys get funded?
We're supported by grassroots supporters all around the world. We have hundreds of people who donate and who allow us to do our political organizing work in addition to the legal expenses.
And do you get grants from foundations or anything, or is it just one person after another?
We get small grants, but it's almost all grassroots supporters.
And again, I'm sure people can give at bradleymanning.org, too. Tell me the context of this. I mean, because Bradley Manning's not alone. And you mentioned the Obama administration looking at Assange and WikiLeaks, but it's not just them either. I mean, there's been a crackdown on whistleblowers that actually is unprecedented, that the Obama administration has been using this espionage law of 1917 to go after whistleblowers. Thomas Drake of the NSA was hit with an Espionage Act charge. What do you make of that? Why is Obama doing this?
I wish I knew exactly why Obama is doing this. What I can say is that what's been revealed by WikiLeaks shows us that his foreign policies are just as aggressive as President Bush's were, and that he's gone so far as to defend Bush administration officials against being prosecuted for war crimes in Spanish courts and other places. I can say that I know some of President Obama's advisors are on the more conservative side politically. Obviously, it's a huge contradiction to the principles he campaigned on because he said he was going to support a more transparent government. And instead, he's brought about 5 people to court under espionage charges. So far, they've failed for constitutional reasons.
Just as aggressive, you say. Can you give me an example why you think he's just as aggressive as Bush in foreign policy? Certainly, his rhetoric is a little different. But, I wonder about myself how much continuity there is.
Well, so there have been thousands of news articles written about the information WikiLeaks released. There was a secret op in Yemen where 60 civilians were killed, and the Yemeni government helped us cover it up because the U.S. is unpopular there. There was the incident where the State Department under President Obama lobbied the Haitian president to keep the minimum wage lower to benefit U.S. textile factories. There have been war crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan that were not prosecuted. The U.S. was kicked out of Iraq in part because our military under President Obama wouldn't try and hold soldiers accountable when they committed war crimes.
What do you make of where we've gone with Obama? There was so much illusionment, if you will, when he was elected. Excitement, certainly, and a lot of that was understandable because it was a stride forward in race relations, at least on the surface, and it was a break, at least on the surface, from Bush, Cheney, and the kind of crypto-fascists that they were. And yet, here we have all this continuity. What do you make of that?
Well, I think this is one of those things the Occupy movement has right. I think both parties have become increasingly corporate over the years, increasingly pandering to the wealthy in our country who aren't putting their lives at risk for these wars, but who are benefiting from them economically, in addition to these other controversial foreign policies.
And McCabe, what kind of intersection is there between the Bradley Manning support network that you're the organizer for and the Occupy movement?
Well, we've had events organized for Bradley Manning among dozens of Occupy camps around the country. And we actually wrote a support statement a few months ago endorsing the Occupy movement based on the fact that many of these documents Bradley Manning has released, many of the State Department cables, shed light on the degree to which U.S. foreign policies are shaped by corporate interests, to the detriment of most of the taxpayers, of course.
And do you think the Occupy movement has some momentum going forward here?
I think the Occupy movement has done a great job of bringing together many different progressive causes in a way that makes sense to the average American, so they can see how all these pieces of the puzzle fit together. It's also done a good job of motivating people who are mine and Bradley's age, more or less, in our 20s, who maybe have not been so active traditionally. I think this gives my generation a feeling, finally, that they can maybe change our system.
Well, I hope that's correct, and that the system can change, because we need that energy, and we need that hope, too. Now, you're driving all over the country. I'm wondering, and you must be working ridiculous hours, I'm wondering how you keep going without burning out.
Well, I feel lucky. I'm lucky to have a job in this economy where I get to do something that I think is important. Intellectually challenging, and I think Bradley Manning could represent many different members of my generation, and I want to do what I can to free him.
I've been speaking with Emma Cape. She's been my guest today on Progressive Radio. Emma, I want to thank you for being with me and for shedding light on this issue that I think more and more of us need to pay attention to. So thanks so much for being here on Progressive Radio. And I want to encourage the listener, if you've been listening to Emma talk about the Bradley Manning story, if you're outraged at the charges being leveled against Bradley Manning, treason of all things, then try to involve yourself with this organization, the Bradley Manning Support Network. You can find out more information at just bradleymanning.org, right, Emma?
Yeah, bradleymanning.org.
And also, I guess, couragetoresist.org, an affiliated organization. You may be able to find out information there, too. But bradleymanning.org is the first place to go, and I encourage you, the listener, to do that. And Emma Cape, thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by Mufa. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.